Former NHLer, host of Missing Curfew, Scotty Upshaw, joins us. You ever had a mango margarita, Scotty?
No, I go with the skinny margaritas, boys, with a little spice, a little jalapeno in there, to be exact.
Really? Jeez.
Okay. I like it spicy, boys.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Speaking of spicy, what'd you think of the Shifley hit?
Well, yeah, that was definitely spicy. That's how you spice things up on a, you know, on a Wednesday night, sitting on your couch watching a nice Habs Jets game, you know, in a close game, a really close game. And then, you know, a play that was talked about and will be talked about for a long, long time. But, to me, you know, it's just it's an unfortunate situation on a play that we never really see happen, boys. It's a play in hockey that, you know, usually is decided on a race for a puck and then a hit into the boards or someone chasing a guy around the net. But man, when a guy's separated by, you know, let's say 15 steps and gets the puck and thinks wrapping it around to end the game is the best play once you get that puck, you kind of got to be ready to, you're exposed. And, you know, whether the puck went in and there was a half a second, I don't know what the time is, boys. It's too hard to tell, but, you know, it's just, Evans is a great young player. You hate to see a guy get hurt. You know, Shifley plays on edge. He was edgy the whole third period. You seen him getting a tussle, in front of the, you know, Montreal net earlier on. So to me, it's just a very unfortunate situation, a big body check. You know, you would like to think Shifley was trying to prevent the goal by, and even though he's not using his stick, still taking a body check is preventing a goal. If that puck doesn't go in, there's, you know, he separates himself from that player. That player might be, you know, hopefully he's not hurt like he was, but, you know, you go up the ice maybe 6-on-4 to tie the game. The game's still not over. And Shifley, I think he made a decision at the top of the, you know, at the hash marks that I'm going to hit this guy. Because he's going around the net trying to score, and my defensive play on this puck is to hit him. I don't blame him for that. It looked very malicious. The hit is a suspendable hit in my eyes. You know, he's going to get suspended. The game is turned where you shouldn't hit guys that are vulnerable like that. But in so many ways, it's on both guys. I think Evans, you know, if he realizes there's a chance he gets hit coming around the net, he should stop. You know, he should try to pick up his head and realize, you know, there's a chance I get buried here if I bring this puck around the net. And, you know, I want to say younger players just don't have that in their minds anymore. And that's the way the game has gone. And if it continues this way, hockey's just going to be played without no hitting.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. And I hear what you're saying. But, I mean, because I don't think the hit was illegal. I think his intention was. Like, he was on a mission to destroy somebody, you know? Like, and I think that's where the suspension comes in, because I'm not really into the charging part of it. He was skating back, and he had speed and tempo. Yeah. It's a big, but, like, you could tell, and listen, you know, anyone who's ever played any kind of sports, you go on tilt at some point, you know, especially at a higher level, you go on tilt, and I think he was looking to go in there, and I think he knew the guy was going to score, and he just hammered him. And he came unglued, so, I just don't think that's, unfortunately, I think that hit, well, not unfortunately, the truth is that hit is no longer accepted in the NHL. And I think Shifley's going to pay for it, and Ivan's going to pay for it. And then on top of those two, the Winnipeg Jets are going to big time, pay for that. Cause, you know, they just lost their number one center who had a huge impact against Connor McDavid. So, you know, everyone, those three groups, they lose big time.
Strutty, you hit it on the head. I think he was out on a mission in the third period. I think he was down. The game hadn't gone his way. You know, they kept getting closer to tying it, and then Montreal would score another goal, and then they get one step closer to tying it, and then Shifley's wires crossed. And he's not that dirty of a player, as we know with his past. He's a great two-way, a two-way centerman that you're right. They played hard against Leon and Connor, and that's a big reason why that team won. But put Hellebuyck aside. They shut those guys down. But man, it's a blow to the Winnipeg Jets. It's a blow to the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, they're not happy that, you know, Shifley's going to be suspended and they're losing one of their young players. That's, you know, been a big reason why they got through Toronto. I think everyone kind of loses in this situation, and that's the unfortunate part, but I I still think it's just that there needs to be an onus on knowing that if you put yourself in a vulnerable position, it's still body checking, and it wasn't a hit that they're trying to take out of the game. I mean, the Rafi Torres, you know, come down from your wing and blast a guy, that's not back checking. Yeah. That's maliciously trying to attack him. This is just an odd play with, intent to body check the guy from not scoring. I just don't think, you know, stick on puck is one way that people prevent a goal, but I think you go stick on puck right there, the guy puts the puck in the net, or you put the puck in the net. If you hit him, there's a chance you explode him, his stick flies, you know, and the puck just doesn't go in. But it happens so fast. It's a very unfortunate play, that now is all over the news, and we got to talk about it.
How many games do you think he gets?
I think he gets 2 games. I think 2 games is fair due to his history. I really want to see Evans. You know, I hope the news coming out of, you know, the Montreal team is good, and that he's going to recover, and he'll be hopefully back here in either this, you know, playoff round or the next. I think he gets 2, and then I think he's going to have to face the music. You know, you heard some of the stories coming out of Montreal's dressing room. I mean, they got a tough team. Edmondson, Weber, Perry. I mean, I don't think you got to go fight Edmondson, but I think you might have to step up and fight a guy like Perry. I think that's, you just exploded someone at the end of a game. You got to face the music. You know that, Strutty. And I don't think that's going to be, you know, a highlight of the series. I hope it's not. I hope this series is just long and drawn out, and there's a lot of great plays, and there's a lot of big hits. I hope it doesn't get into, you know, just a, you know, this guy's fighting this guy, and this guy. That's old school hockey. Some of us might like it, but, you know, there's 2 good teams going out of here, and I think it's good for Canada if the suspension is the right one and these guys get back and play a long series. I think it'd be great for everybody.
Yeah, Scotty, joined by Scotty Upshaw, a longtime NHLer. I think I'd actually, my advice in this situation would be to not fight him, because I think he'd hurt his team so much. And let's assume that when he gets back, let's say it's a 3-game suspension, and Montreal's up 3-1 in this scenario, in my scenario here. You know, fighting Shifley, I think it might give him any kind of a spark. And I think you just want to say, we're just going to, because they're expecting it, and you don't do it, and you just play to win the game. Now, next year, I would definitely, I would remember what happened. Like, let's be honest. But in the short term, like, you know, it was such a bang-bang thing with Toronto and with Tavares and Perry. Like, it was like, boom, boom, they fought right away. But this, like, we might not see Shifley, or they might not play against them for 4, 5, 6 days, right? So I think I might take the different approach. And listen, I'm a believer in an eye for an eye. But in this case, I think winning the series trumps that.
Yeah, you're right. That's Captain Strutty talking there. Those are wise words, Strutty, and that's probably the way, you know, that their leaders and their coaching staff are going to treat this thing. I mean, look at their comments. The league will take care of it. I don't have much to say. It was pretty dirty. The league will take care of it. You know, it's in hockey, it's cliche. You don't want to feed the other teams, you know, you don't want to feed their engine with anything in the playoffs. And he's going to sit out. You're right. He hurt his team. There's no question he's walking into that dressing room or that practice today with his head in between his legs, like, you know, sorry, boys. You know, I know I cost you. I might have cost us the series and the year. You know, after all these guys have put in all year, you know. So I just think he's going to get played hard, and he should. And, you know, a guy like that right now, there's no question he's a little scared right now, Shifley, no matter what happens. You know, if it's this round, if it's next year, everyone remembers that hit. I think it was one of the biggest hits I've ever seen. Just it was the biggest hockey hit I think I've ever seen. And I played with Tutu. You know, I've seen some guys really blow up some guys, but that was something.
Scotty, Colorado and Vegas. Vegas was much better. Heck, they really dominated in the second and third period. And, you know, Grubauer made some huge stops in that game, specifically the breakaway save on Tuck when he came out of the penalty bench. But, you know, can Vegas come back now? You know, like, they're down 2-0, they're going home. Meanwhile, Tampa's up 2-0, and they're going home, right? Like, I think the Tampa-Carolina series is over for sure. Is Vegas done?
I hope not. I'm going into Vegas tomorrow morning for this game, so I hope they're not done. I'm going to be on the edge of my seat tomorrow at T-Mobile Arena. you know, cheering for Las Vegas to pull back in this series. I really thought after game one, you know, let's just give the Colorado Avalanche, you know, tip your cap to them for game one. They came out strong. They played the way they needed to. They were playing against a tired and beat up Vegas Golden Knights. But 2 days off up in the altitude, guys, got these guys buzzing. And Vegas, you're right. Their top guys were going. Smith, you know, they hit three or four posts. Smith got back in the game with a big goal. Tuck, to me, is playing great. Petrangelo probably played his best game. You know, I know Petro well, and this guy can be either your worst player or an absolute all-star. So you want to see him playing good. And then having Fleury back in net, you just saw the confidence. He made the right saves. He was in the right position. So I think T-Mobile Arena will get these guys buzzing. There's, you know, sold-out barn. It'll be rocking. You know, it's hot in Vegas. I'll be throwing the chips around, maybe at the pool party. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I'm hoping they pull back in this series because they're two great teams. We've talked about them all year, guys, together with other people. You know, who's better, Colorado or Vegas? And you know, each people have their own opinion. And I always thought Vegas was more built like men. And we're starting to see bigger teams play heavier in the playoffs. You know, the refs start to let a few things go. That usually wins. But Colorado is one of the most dynamic, fast, and executed teams that I've seen play hockey in the last 10 years. These guys are great. And Grubauer might have been a question mark before the season with, you know, what happened last year and all that. He has played unbelievable. Vezina's, you know, Ben's the candidate. So he's, to me, that Colorado Avalanche are in the driver's seat here, but I'm really pulling for Vegas here this weekend.
Uppy, are you surprised that Rod the Bod Brind'Amour is going with Mrazek over Ned after only allowing four goals in two games?
We touched on this, boys. I think the Carolina Hurricanes are a little banged up. They need a spark. Mrazek, for me, is a guy. He's been there before. He's been able to back up and win games on all teams he's played for. So you're going into a tough building. Tampa is playing incredible right now. Trying to score on this Vasilevskiy, I mean, it's a shooter tutor with the holes the size of corn nuts. It's impossible. The guy's a beast, boys, and he competes. And then to me, the MVP so far this series and for Tampa is Alex Killorn. He's doing everything. Secondary guy, secondary scoring. You know, they're getting, you know, their top guys, maybe the points not doing much, but the depth, and they finish checks, they play hard, they have that taste of winning in their mouth, and it's showing on the ice. So Carolina, like you said, I don't see them pulling back in this series, but Rod the Bod's trying to spark up their boys, and let's just hope they make it a close one here tonight.
Scotty Abshaw joins us, Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. And, you know, you hope that they make it a close one. Are you surprised that Mrazek's getting the start tonight?
Not really, no. I think he's a guy that can come in and help steal a game. He's, you know, he's been there before. I think I just said it, but he's, you know, he's a guy that's been able to come in, back up when needed, give his team that, you know, extended vote of confidence. And, you know, just try to change things up. Your playoffs are so short. I've told this to everyone. In a playoff series, it's like time flies so much. You're not talking to your friends. You're not talking to your family. You're basically in a meeting, in a pregame skate, in a warm-up. You play that game every shift, and you're so focused. The next thing you know, seven games flies by. So as a coach, you can't just let, you know, you can't let things just, you know, wash away. You have to make decisions, tough ones. Tonight, I think Mrazek's not a bad call. I don't mind it at all, and I think their team will rally around him.
Scotty Abshaw, join us, longtime NHLer. Bruins, you know, not maybe find a way to lose, but the Islanders find a way for them to win, pull out a game in Boston. Now they're going back where that place can be a madhouse in Long Island. Do you think the Islanders are legit in this series with the Bruins?
I do, Strutty. I do because of their coach. I think their coach, Trotsky, has been, he just puts in place such a winning, like, attitude and winning recipe when it comes to playoff style hockey. And they've got the goaltending. You know, they were able to come back, down a goal in game two, come back, the big overtime goal scored by Cizikas, who's a, you know, a glue guy, a good veteran guy that gets rewarded like that. I mean, to me, they just win and they find ways to win. Now, Boston, arguably, you know, second best team in that East. Like when you look at Tampa Bay, Boston, these teams are always there in the playoffs. So they've been there. Trotsky just, he doesn't go away, man. He finds ways to win. And you're right. That Nassau Coliseum, the chanting from the, you know, from the lights in there, from the smell, from the rats running around in the dressing room. I mean, it's old school hockey at its best. It's playing, smells like playoffs in there. So I expect that to be a great game and a really long series. I do.
Yeah, the Islanders-Boston series is an interesting one for me. I see your co-host is picking the Islanders to win tonight, so we'll see what happens in that series. The you know, it's interesting as we get, you know, down and you dig down. Like to me, it seems like Colorado and Tampa just might be on a collision course in the final. Although, you know, the way Montreal is going, like Montreal, hey, if once you get to a conference final, you know, with their big heavy defense and Carey Price is playing like Carey Price of a Hart Trophy season, like you never know. I'm not saying that they're beating Winnipeg for sure, but without Scheifele in the lineup, that's such a massive blow. I think it's going to be hard for Winnipeg to come back in this series. Like Montreal just seems to kind of have something going right now, Scotty. And I think you and Strutz, we've seen that every year. Like there's some teams that all of a sudden they find it and they can ride that for two or three series.
Yeah, guys, I want to touch on this because we talked about it earlier, but I think you asked me, Gregor, you said, who do you want to take in a one game series showdown? You want Carey Price or do you want Hellebuck? And I went with Carey Price. I mean, the guy's been there before. He loves the big stage. He loves those games. They, you know, this is a team that beat Montreal last year in the first round. And to me, Carey Price, when he has that look in his eye, he wants to take over the game, and he can. And then their defense, I mean, what Joel Edmondson's been doing the last couple of games, too, is spectacular. For a guy that's, you know, won a Stanley Cup, I think he's won five game sevens now. That helps your back end when guys like that step up. It takes a little bit off Petrie, off Weber, all that physical play. And then just like for me, Gallagher, he's a guy, look at his face right now. He's beat up. Like Mitch Marner's face wasn't beat up after the playoffs. Look at this guy get in there, battle, and show his team like, you know, we're in this. This is our time. Who cares about what people are saying if we're the underdog or we're not? You know, and then they're up 1-0 in Winnipeg. They got a chance to go in and steal another one, and they're going back to the Bell Center, up 2, with a chance to go to the semifinals for the Stanley Cup. I think it's anyone's game when you got a guy like Carey Price in net. And you know, for Montreal, I'm not a Montreal fan, but for those Montreal fans, you got to be liking where your team is at right now.
Yeah, it's good. Quickly, Scotty, one as we get to Seattle, they announced they moved up one spot, number 2. I was looking at Tampa Bay's team. Like, they're going to lose a very good player. Like, maybe Yanni Gourde, for goodness sakes, is, you know, just because they got so many players to protect. How competitive do you think Seattle's going to be? Like, Vegas to me was like the ultimate outlier. I don't even think it's realistic to even put them close to that. But, like, how good do you, like, is Seattle going to be like a, you know, competitive team that's maybe like 26th, 24th? Do you think they could compete for the playoffs? I know we haven't seen their roster yet, but when you look at teams and who might be available, or do you think teams have learned and like no one's going to gift them 2/3 of their top line like Florida did, right? So I think it's going to be much harder for Seattle.
No, you're right, Gregor. I think Ron Francis will do a great job assembling that group of guys, but you know, I think we're soon to forget just what Las Vegas did in the first season they played in the NHL. And I'll tell you why they did it. It's because it's Las Vegas, and all the teams that would go into Las Vegas would go party, go have dinners. They would be, you know, they weren't engaged. You know what I'm talking about, Strutty. Oh, what are you going to do in Seattle when you get there? You're going to be in your room because it's raining, or you're like, oh, we don't even know this city yet. You don't have any veteran guys trying to take you out to, you know, to Tao for dinner and line up a rookie dinner in Seattle. I just think what Vegas did their first year is something super special that will never be repeated. I think Seattle will come in and they'll compete. You know, looking forward to seeing who's going to be their coach. I think that's a big honor for whoever gets the chance to go in there. But they're not going to do what Las Vegas did. There's no way they go to the Stanley Cup final. I'll put my bottom dollar on it right now. But, you know, Seattle Kraken, I love their colors. It's the missing curfew colors too. So I'm excited to see, you know, that building, you know, fill up and another new team come in and compete, and a bunch of new players, you know, have a new chance at a new beginning and a new story with a new franchise. I think that's exciting for the league and for everyone. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but there's no chance, you know, in that Alberta, in that, I don't know how you want to say it, but in all hell that they're going to make it to the final. I just don't see it happening.
No, I'm with you.
Not a chance.
Well, yeah, they're not making the finals. I don't even know they make the playoffs, to be realistic.
So. Well, Vegas did make the finals that year, which is pretty special.
Oh, yeah, like that. Come on, man. Like, that's – like, honestly, Vegas might make the finals for the next 20 years of their franchise. And that doesn't even mean they're a bad franchise. It's just really hard to make the finals.
I agree. Yeah. You got to have all the right things fall into place, boys.
And then, Scotty, and then you need a little bit of luck. Right, like,
and
what if?
Luck. That's...
Right, like, what if Tavares, Muzzin, and Anderson aren't hurt? Does Toronto beat Montreal? We don't ever know, but you'd think their odds would be better. But it didn't happen, and now Montreal, who knows? In a week or two, they could be in the conference final. That's what's great and also infuriating, I'm sure, for some teams when it comes to the postseason, because you need a good team, but then you need a little bit of luck, no question about it. Scotty, have yourself a good week. Enjoy Vegas. Pace yourself. Pace yourself.
Yeah, I never knew how to do that. That's why I had that 16-year career. I appreciate you, boys. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, and look forward to a big weekend of hockey.